Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Good morning, folks. December 19th, blowing through this month. Hey, just a reminder to folks, most kids got out of school either yesterday or today. A lot of kids have half day today, so they'll be running around, they'll be out in the street. Just be careful as you go down these neighborhood streets. I was walking out to my car last evening. There was a car coming down the street, must have been doing 65 miles an hour. I don't know where they think they're going in such a quick hurry, but I can tell you, you do not want to experience the tragedy of hitting somebody on a side street doing 45 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's not necessary. Relax, take a breath, slow down. And you'll have a much happier Christmas season for it. We've got a great show lined up for you today. At 12:30, we'll visit with Renee Laparolari. She is going to be the Deputy Mayor for External Affairs in the Helena Moreno administration. And we're going to begin to introduce you to folks in the administration. I thought there would be a lot of value in that so that you get to know these folks up front and center. Renee played a critical role in the campaign of Helena Moreno, and we look forward to speaking with her at 12:30. At the top of the 12 o'clock hour, Stephen Hofer, DEA New Orleans Special Agent in Charge, we're going to be talking about some programs that they're doing in trying to deal with this fentanyl crisis. And as you probably know, the president has said fentanyl now is a weapon of mass destruction. So we'll talk about what that actually means. And we'll talk about the volatility of fentanyl and what it means in our society today. At 11 o'clock, in the back half of the 11 o'clock hour, Mike Haas, voice of the Saints. The Saints and the Jets play this weekend at home, the last home game of the season. 12 o'clock start. We'll talk about that with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. Tim Temple joins us at the top of the hour, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. We'll talk all things insurance. In particular, we'll talk about State Farm rate decreases, and we'll talk about what else is out there on the horizon. Peter Lumaj, who is a Republican strategist, is going to talk to us about a poll that was done by Gallup Kettering, where they surveyed over 20,000 Americans on a bunch of different principles of foundational democratic principles and where we stood on these issues. Some surprising results. I think you'll enjoy that conversation as well. Wanted to remind everyone, again, Santa will be with me on December 24th from 10 to 1. Get the kids to call in. It's a really good time. I know with the hustle and bustle of the holidays, a lot of times your kids didn't get an opportunity to visit Santa. Well, this is your opportunity by just calling in at 504-260-1870 on Christmas Eve, December the 24th, and we'll get your kids connected up to Santa Claus. It's always a lot of fun to hear the kids talk about what they want this year, especially for me that's so disconnected as to what toys are out there at the present time. It's really a learning process. Also want to remind everyone on behalf of Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, who's been working hard on his voice and taking voice lessons. He's going to lead us in Christmas carols on Sunday, December the 21st, out at Jackson Square, caroling the square. The gates will open at 6:30 p.m., and the caroling will start at 7 p.m. People have a great time out there. You'll see candlelights all over the place. It's a very picturesque moment, and it looks like the weather's going to cooperate and it'll be really nice. So get on out to the French Quarter and partake in Christmas caroling as we in the midst of the Christmas season. So this has been a crazy week, right? I mean, this has been a back and forth tug of war here with local politics between the incoming administration of Helena Moreno and the present administration of Mayor LaToya Cantrell. And it seems to me that the mayor is engaged in a bunch of silly games, and we've talked about this. But I wanted today to kind of wrap one thing up. I want to commend and congratulate the New Orleans City Council for their vote to override the veto of the budget that they had adopted. And the mayor vetoed it and started talking about what her obligations and responsibilities were. And my personal opinion, you know, sorry, too late. You're done. Forget about it. But their action in coming together, I think, speaks volumes, right? And makes it clear that they will not allow Mayor LaToya, the Grinch Cantrell, to crash the sleigh of hope, the sleigh of redemption, the sleigh of excitement that the electorate is feeling as we approach and work our way through this transition period leading up to the swearing in of Helena Moreno on January 12th. And I love the fact that they did that, pushed it right back on it and say, this sleigh of hope is going to continue to fly over the city and land on January 12th. And it is clear that from this action as well, that the mayor is appropriately and prominently placed on the naughty list, right? No doubt about it. They're sending the message that the mayor's naughty, that what she's engaged in here, she belongs on a naughty list. And as such, I would just have one request of the mayor as she's outgoing, is just please don't send out Christmas cards unless it's a picture of you sitting on a lump of coal, right? Which could serve as a reminder of your failed travels about climate. Because I think what's happening now is people are just tired of hearing anything that she has to say. They're tired of witnessing anything that she attempts to do. And this might be a good day, December 19th, to kind of just disappear. Don't reveal yourself. Just go about doing what you do, have to do, packing your boxes, whatever else. We've all done it. I'm not trying to be mean. I had to do it myself. You know, and you come to the realization that on the 12th, you're a has-been. And just begin to realize that now and stop fighting these crazy, silly little things that make us look bad throughout the state, make us even look worse nationally, and just move on. Because if you continue to do what you're doing, just a word of caution. I heard that Krampus is around, and he may be looking for you. Just maybe. Not sure. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, where this all goes. There's a lot to get done. And yesterday I outlined some of the issues that I see looming out there that continue to be really difficult and continue to present problems from a financial perspective for not only this administration, but the incoming administration. And I think one of the challenges that the incoming administration, quite frankly, is going to have is how to separate itself from what was done previously and how much of that will tarnish them as they come in. And I just caution folks, and word to the wise, listen very carefully to what people are saying. You know, the downside for an incoming administration when you're down and out like we are here and we're holding on by our fingertips on the proverbial edge of a cliff is, you know, they can only play certain cards because they've been dealt a hand that is really difficult to manage, to massage, and to play the rest of this game with that hand. all the while trying to figure out how they can reshuffle the deck. So it's going to take patience on our part, quite frankly. I think expectations are high, and appropriately so. But patience is going to have to be exhibited. None of this is going to unwind and unfold in a very quick fashion. Typically, I would say, you know, everybody's looking for the first 100 days to see what's going to happen and this, that, and otherwise. I do believe that there'll be some policy changes. They'll work through the implementation of these policy changes. But you have a culture that's been embedded in this city for a long, long time. Cultural reformation is not easy. It occurs one bloody step at a time. Because the bureaucracy and those that are protected by civil service, those that are protected by a whole host of other things, whether it is their institutional knowledge or whatever, it's hard to move these people in a short period of time. So I just throw that out because I think coming out of the holiday season, I think spirits are going to be high. There's a lot going on in the city. And I think expectations are going to be overwhelming, quite frankly, in some respect. And we didn't get here in a very short period of time. And in the place that we find, it's very difficult. This goes back multiple administrations. A lot of decisions that have to be made by independent third parties. The city doesn't have any control over. Hopefully those decisions go our way. You know, one example is FEMA. It's a big decision by the federal government as to whether or not they're going to give us yet another extension, which I think is probably north of about a half a dozen or so extensions. And, you know, so that we could carry this thing forward. But keep in mind, we still have to put up our match. And when you're in a distressed cash position, that's going to be very difficult to do. There's going to be some workouts that have to happen first. And, you know, there has to be a clear understanding that is going to be needed to be done as we move forward. So, again, I just want to commend the council, congratulate them. For the override of the veto, pushing back on whatever it is that the mayor's attempting to do and not allowing the Grinch to crash the sleigh of hope. And that you continue to trudge forward in the waning days of this council, some of the council members will leave us. Some will come back to city administration. Some will move on to other aspects of their life. And there's new blood that's coming on the council as well. So we look forward to that, too. And so, as I said before, it's going to be interesting, but we'll continue to report out what we see. And hopefully, maybe just through the next couple of weeks, no more games, right? Let's just focus on all the right things. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
With us. Folks, there's a new Gallup Kettering survey of more than 20,000 Americans that shows broad agreement on many of the foundational democratic principles. And here to talk to us about it is Peter Lumage, a Republican strategist. Peter, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, more often than not, when we watch TV and listen to other types of programs, there always seems to be this kind of very divisive theme going on amongst the folks that live in this country. When I looked at this survey really reveals some things that are incredibly different. So what were your thoughts about this poll and what Americans are actually thinking?
I think that but for the media, the major media, which is completely on the left, academia and Hollywood, I would say that generally speaking, Americans do understand each other. They like each other. They want to live together. They want to improve the country. I always tell people that I have yet to meet someone who wakes up in the morning with the intent of disliking or hating another American. But then when you're bombarded by the media, the academia, the Hollywood, that America is bad, is racist, is sexist, is this, is that, you know, we have gotten to the point that in the past that the disagreements between Americans were so emphasized and so obvious, and so that it was disturbing to see that. I think the younger generation, and you know, the they are going to be some of the most pro-American and pro the foundation of this country that we haven't seen in years. When I talk to my kids, for example, and all of them on their 20s, the way they see America is the way the founding fathers saw it. That we have these beautiful documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that gave us the greatest country humankind has ever seen. And the founding fathers were very clear. They gave the government enumerated powers. And by doing that, they limited the government and made sure the individual is free and he's got the liberty to make his or her own decisions. And I think we're going back to that. That's why you see this poll indicating that the agreements between Americans at this point are that, look, it's a great country. We have to keep it the way it is and improve it instead of trying to tear it down.
We always hear a lot about the inability of our elected leaders, predominantly those in Washington, not able to reach compromise to get things done. 8 in 10 U.S. adults say compromise is necessary to get things done. In other words, go do it.
Well, on the other hand, I mean, the foundation of this country was meant actually to be not to agree on everything, to dispute certain things, not to give the government too much power. And that's why we have the enumerated powers, as I said, in the Constitution. But to get things done, it's that you need that compromise. And I think that, you know, even during this current administration, I think that you see Democrats, the U.S. senator from Pennsylvania, for example, who's always talking about putting America first, putting the interest of the people first. And, you know, so I think you're going to see more Democrats and even Republicans who may have disagreed with each other in the past coming to their senses that they have been sent to Washington to serve the people, to serve the constituents. They have not been sent there to disagree with the president, to disagree with each other and just, you know, bicker and fight about the disagreements that they have. So I think we're going to see more and more of these elected officials, you know, indicating or standing firm on the principles that America must remain this strong, great country that we have. And even though we may disagree on certain things, we still have to put that ahead of the disagreements that we had.
Interestingly, in the poll, and it goes right along the lines of what you just articulated, Americans express a desire to limit the political influence of wealthy individuals and businesses and believe there is a difference between facts and opinions. And it's kind of the embracing of, you know, the common man should have more of a say so.
Yeah, I mean, that is the foundation, again, of this country that the founding fathers wanted us ordinary citizens to serve for a short period of time, if you will, and then go back into the private sector. Unfortunately, in the modern history, I mean, politics has become almost a, you know, it's a business transaction to some elected officials. They want to make sure that they get elected, reelected, and reelected forever. And then the fact that they are so passionate about remaining in Washington, they're going to be influenced by the wealthy individuals. They're going to be influenced by wealthy corporations because they're going to start serving those individuals and corporations instead of ordinary folks. So I believe in having curtailing or limiting certain influences that come from certain individuals. For example, you take George Soros, Alex Soros, the Soros, you know, Open Society. He's influencing the election of attorney generals all over the state. But we're not getting the services that we need because they are at the disposal of George Soros the moment they get there. And they are harming our society. So if you want to curtail certain individuals who are influencing the election of certain individuals in certain positions that may be harmful to the United States, I have no problems with that. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do because of the Constitution that allows these individuals and, you know, these wealthy corporations actually to spend their own money in the way they want to spend it. But if we get to the point that we elect people in certain offices that may be harmful to the United States, it's something that, you know, looking into it, it's nothing wrong with that.
Another interesting thing is that, you know, the folks in the poll reject political violence. Yet we're seeing it almost every day, right? I mean, it out there on the streets, it gets all the clicks, it gets a lot of the video, it gets a lot of the chatter.
Americans would disagree with political violence. The problem is that you need a very small percentage of people within certain party to believe in political violence. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party has been permeated in the past, you know, 20 years or so by distilling that or this belief that political violence is justified or justifiable under certain circumstances. And you need a very small percentage of people to believe that. And we saw what happened with Charlie Kirk. I mean, we cannot say or generalize that all the Democrats would believe that assassinating Charlie Kirk is the right thing, is the right thing to do. I mean, I would say the large majority of the Democrats would disagree with that, including ordinary citizens and elected officials. And we have to tone that down. There is no justification whatsoever when it comes to assassinating or killing someone or murdering someone because there are political differences. But then when you go back in history and you see that what happened, the Democrats or the liberals or they have been justifying certain behavior of these individuals that will take the matters in their own hands and say that, well, Charlie Kirk is someone who may be a racist or sexist, or you disagree with the political point of view of this guy and we must kill him. I think that the Democrats have a lot of work to do to make sure that they tone it down and that there is a clear message to each and every one of us out there, including their, you know, center left or leftist left wing of the party, that there is no justification to do this. That's why you hear these ordinary people who are responding to these polls that, no, we disagree with, you know, political violence. And it's the right thing to do. And I think that and I hope that we see more of more people actually embracing that value, that what separates us as Americans is very small thing. What brings us together, whether it's Americanism, the Constitution, the values that we have, what we fight for, we may choose different paths to make America great, but all of us should have the same interest. We want to make this country greater than it is. And I think that the Democrats are realizing that if they don't embrace that kind of belief that America must be maintained the position the way it is or may be made greater, I think they are going to start losing votes. And they are realizing that. And that's why you'll see more and more of these elected officials on, you know, the Democrat Party actually not embracing Trump, but at least they are not going as harsh as they were going after him when he got reelected.
You know, political violence reveals itself in many ways, and a lot of times we focus on the most egregious acts of human conduct. But, you know, even just harassing people when they go dine. Again, Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, was run out of a restaurant either yesterday or the day before yesterday by people heckling him. There were obviously Democrats that don't like the Trump administration. We had many Democratic members of Congress encouraging that behavior during the first Trump administration. And they feel like, you know, that disruption and just failure to exhibit common decency and courtesy, it's just not the appropriate forum, you know, to go and do that and disrupt people's personal lives.
And these are the Democrats or the leftists within the Democrat Party who are doing this. And this is, these are some of the elected officials who openly claim to be socialists. And these socialists, the foundation of socialism is that if they disagree with you and if they cannot convince you to agree with them by having a civilized debate, they are actually, they do justify violence. And we have seen that in Eastern Europe. We saw that in Russia, Albania, Cuba, China, North Korea. We see that happening in those countries because from their philosophical point of view, from their this evil ideology called socialism, it justifies that kind of behavior. And it's perturbing to see this coming to the United States. 38 years ago, I thought that I left socialism behind in Eastern Europe and I'll never see it again. This evil ideology is coming to the United States and is raising its ugly head within the United States Congress. And the biggest threat that we get right now is from within the House of Freedom, if we're not careful. And what I mean by that is that we have elected people who are not compatible with our Judeo-Christian values, with our constitutional foundation of this country, who do not believe in republicanism, but they want to turn us into a just ordinary democracy. I mean, these are things that I think the educational system in our country, especially the public educational system, has failed our kids when it comes to educating them that this is what we stand for. This is constitutionalism. This is republicanism. This is what America is stands for and is a force for good out there. And we have allowed these socialists actually to, you know, bring their ideology to the United States Congress. And we're paying a price because when you hear Ocasio-Cortez or Bernie Sanders or some other socialists within, you know, in Washington justifying this kind of behavior and even calling upon people to do the same, it's the wrong approach. It's the wrong approach, and I think the voters are going to punish them in 2026 for behaving this way.
I think that's also emblematic when we talk about cultural change, right? The speed in which a lot of this has been going on for a period of time. And interestingly, in this poll, and it's one of the things that surprised me more than anything, both Democrats and Republicans alike feel that cultural change is happening too fast. What do you attest that to? What do you think is driving that issue?
Well, we immigration is one of the roots of the causes of this problem, I would say, because what we did with immigration, when you look at the 19th century and early 20th century, we brought people to the United States who had the same, to a certain extent, the same values that Americans had at that time. Now, what we're bringing to the United States in the 1960s is a different culture that we're bringing to the United States. It's a culture that is not assimilating. It's a culture that does not respect the foundation of this country. There's a culture that it is not, you know, embracing what America stands for. As a matter of fact, they are trying to impose their values that they brought with them when they came to the United States upon the American people. That is, when you see sometimes the driving around and you see all these flags that from other countries being displayed, you know, their cars or you name it, it makes you think, okay, that is a flag. That is something that drove you out of your country to come to the United States. Yet the moment you come here and you become an American citizen, you want to impose those values that drove these people out of their countries upon us. Look what happened in New York City. The mayor who just got elected 7 years ago, he became an American citizen. All of a sudden now he's trying, or he was campaigning on socialist values that he left behind in Uganda and his family where he came from. And he wants to implement those values upon the American people who live in New York. So I think that we're going to have, and I agree with President Trump, that he had 19 countries that he was preventing people from coming from those countries to the United States. Now it's 39, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to have to have some sort of, I think should be a moratorium that for the next 20 to 25 years, we shouldn't allow people to come to the United States. Let's see if the ones who are here are going to assimilate. Let's see if they're going to embrace the values that we have. Let's see if they want to make America a better place instead of taking advantage of what we offer to them. We have been enticing people to come to the United States for the benefits that we offer, not for Americanism any longer. And that changed in the 1960s. And reversing it, I think, is the first step that should be taken.
You know what's interesting about a lot of these folks? It seems as though the countries that they came for, they adhere to those socialistic principles, but what they also desire is to have a leadership role and some control, which more likely than not, for a whole host of reasons, they will never be able to attain that. They will never be able to achieve that. They come to this country where they have all of these rights and privileges that we afford these folks, and they move into positions of leadership in a very short period of time when you think about it, that they would never have that opportunity where they came from, and they continue to move and espouse the principles of a government that allegedly, when it came here, they didn't like, but that was really not true. They just wanted to get into a leadership position here because anyone can run for anything here, and it's not like that in these other countries. You got no shot of moving into a position of leadership unless you're born to the right family or, you know, for some other reason that the vast majority, 99.9% of those folks, will never taste a leadership position, right?
Absolutely. And it doesn't behoove me well that I'm going to say this, but I think that Congress should pass a law, and hopefully they do it, that non-American-born citizens, including me, I wasn't born here, we should not be allowed to run for certain offices. We should not, because you need at least a generation or two in the United States to really be a true American, if you will. Now, if you go to Dearborn, Michigan right now, it doesn't resemble a city of, you know, a United States city any longer. If you go to Hamtramck, it's the same thing. I mean, look what's happened in Western, you know, Europe. Europe is gone. What we're bringing here is a culture that is, it's not compatible with our values. Arnold 20 years ago said that great civilizations are not murdered. They commit suicide. The West is committing suicide by imposing or bringing certain cultures to the West who are going to impose their values upon you and I and our families unless we stop this. That's why a moratorium in the United States, I firmly believe, should be passed. And for the next 20 to 25 years, we should observe what's going to happen with these people who came here. Are they going to become Americans? Do they want to live in peace with us? Are they going to try to impose their values upon our families? Are they trying to establish some sort of Sharia law parallel with the laws that we have here? I mean, these are things that I think Trump is fearlessly talking about it. And thank God he's got the backbone, the character, and the fortitude to publicly talk about this, because it is about time we talk about these issues that are going to be a great challenge for the West, including the United States.
We're speaking with Peter Lumage, a Republican strategist. Peter, do you get the sense that the majority of the Americans of what we just talk about, I get the sense that they believe in that. In fact, I've encouraged had conversations with people about this recently, and most of them embrace what we just talked about, but they fear talking about it because, you know, people right away jump to say you're racist, you're a xenophobe, you're this, you're that, whatever else, you know, they can label you with.
I think that a lot of people are actually speaking about it. They were afraid during the previous administration that you will be labeled. But at the end, people are coming to their senses that they are saying, okay, you're calling me a racist and sexist and homophobe and xenophobe and all these things anyway. So at least I'm going to have my voice heard. And when I hear younger people talking about this, it really gives me hope for this country, because these kids are embracing the values that Charlie Kirk was promoting, that President Trump is promoting. These kids are embracing Americanism fearlessly. And some people who are in certain positions, for example, as an attorney, I may not walk into a certain environment and, you know, make a statement that I shouldn't make. But then being afraid to talk about these things is not going to serve us well. When Trump was running for re-election, I put a sign in front of my house supporting him, obviously. And my daughter, who is a teacher, she told me, Dad, would you please remove it from there? Because the school that I'm teaching in, they are anti-Trumpers. And when they drive by my house, I'm afraid they're going to see the sign and I'll be penalized by the supervisors or whoever may have that, you know, power to penalize her. So I winded up removing that sign from where it was in front of my house, because I didn't want my daughter to face that kind of challenge. Now, this is something that should give us some sort of like courage and say, you know something, I'm not removing the sign, and I dare them do this to my daughter, and I'll take them to court for this. But some people, yeah, they are still afraid to talk about this, but I see more and more people actually openly talking about the challenges that we're facing because of the failed liberal policies who want to impose these values, including these cultures that are not compatible with us, upon the American people.
Well, it's the only way that we're going to be able to guarantee to ourselves the rights, the privileges, the immunities that we've grown accustomed to and we've been the beneficiary of and have helped fostered the successes that we've had in each one of our individual lives. And it's not that hard to connect these dots on many different fronts. Some people have a very difficult time, but it's not that difficult. I think folks tend to overcomplicate things. Peter Lumaj, Republican strategist, thank you so much for joining us this morning and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you and your family, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be-
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Be right back. One of the findings in a poll that I thought was very interesting is the difference between the viewpoint of younger folks versus those over 50 as to who's responsible for making sure that people's basic needs are met. Over 60% of younger adults, those aged 18 to 29, see that as a government obligation and responsibility. Those over 50 believe that it's the individual's responsibility to see to make sure that their basic needs are met. Typically, right, by being employed, working, sacrificing, and prioritizing in your life where your spend should be, and more so. And the interesting thing about the poll, they've been doing this poll for over, I think, about 20 years now. There were 20,000 Americans that were actually polled in this poll, which is interesting, too. And they track the differences in where the country's actually moving on a lot of the different fronts. There are a lot of the same belief on a number of the core Democratic principles, but there are some differences too between the parties. Some believe a little bit more in one thing than the others, although over the numbers are, you know, closely aligned, but and then they flip-flop on some others. So it's interesting to see. You watch TV though, mainstream media, and you don't get the sense of what was revealed in this poll. All right, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan, you'll remember that judge. She's the one that hid an illegal immigrant in the courthouse so that federal agents could not find that individual and led the federal agents to a different part of the building. Well, she's been convicted of a felony obstruction charge and could serve up to 5 years in prison. Her sentence hasn't been scheduled yet, but we'll keep you informed. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.